يا رب العالمين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي ربي زدني علما. اللهم فقهنا في الدين، اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا وعملا متقبلا ورزقا طيبا. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما. آمين يا رب العالمين. Inshallah, we'll be doing ayat 132 to 135 of Surah Al-Baqarah today. And we will continue learning about Ibrahim alayhi salam. SubhanAllah, he was a great person. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us follow his example and include us with him and all the other righteous people in the hereafter. Ameen, ya Rabbil Alameen. We will begin with the word meanings, starting with ayah number 132, inshallah. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wa and wasa, enjoined or willed, advised. Biha, be with, ha it. Ibrahimu, Ibrahim alayhi salam. Banihi. So the word bani comes from banin, which means sons. Okay, but here we drop the noon because the ha is added at the end as the pronoun. So bani he, his sons. Wa and Yaqubu, Yaqub alayhi salam. Ya baniya, ya means o, baniya. So bani means children or sons, and the ya at the end means my. So ya baniya, o my sons. Inna, indeed, Allaha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Istafa, he chose. Just like one of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's names is Mustafa, the chosen one. This is istafa, he chose. Lakum, la, for. Kum, all of you. Ad-deena, the deen, or the divine way of life. Fala, fa, so. La, not. Tamutunna. Mut, mot means death, right? So tamu means you die, and the nun with the shadda at the end means definitely, to emphasize it. So tamu dunna, you all die. Illa, except. Wa antum, while you all are. Muslimun, submissive. So fala, so do not. Tamu dunna, you all definitely die. Illa, except. Wa antum, while you all are, or and you all are. It makes more sense to say while. Muslimun, submissive ones. We learned that Islam means to surrender or submit. Muslim is the one that submits. And una ending just makes this word plural. So Muslimuna, the ones who submit. Or kuntum. Kun means to be, and tum means you. So kuntum, were you. Shuhada'a. This is the plural of the word shahid, which means witness. So shuhada means witnesses. Idh, when. Hadara. Hadara means to approach, to come to. So hadara is in the past tense. It came to Yaqub alayhi salam, al-mautu, the death. Idh, when. Qala, he said. Libanihi, li, to. There's an option of writing for as the meaning for li, but then it's better. It makes more sense to say li, to, as the meaning of li, whenever it's followed by the word qala or kul. So qala, he said, and then li, should, it's better to say to. That's what it should mean. Banihi, bani again means sons, he, his. So when he said to his sons, ma, what? ta'buduna. Ayn, ba, dal is the root word here, onto which means to worship, right? Ibada. So ta in the beginning means you, and the una ending makes this word plural. So ta'buduna, you all worship. Min ba'di. Min means from. Ba'd means after. And the ya in the end means me. So ba'di, after me. And please note here that the word ma is used here, okay? And that is usually used for non-living things, okay? So Ibrahim, Yaqub alayhi salam is asking his sons a question here, so please keep that in mind. Qalu, they said, and this word is plural. The lam dhamma followed by the waw sukun tells us this is plural. They said, na'budu. Nun in the beginning means we, and abd, ibadah, means to worship. So, na'budu, we worship. Ilahaka. Ilaha means God. Ka means yours. Wa and ilaha, God. Aba'ika. Aba'i means fathers or forefathers. Ka, yours. Ibrahima, Ibrahim alayhi salam, wa Ismaila, and Ismail alayhi salam, wa Ishaqwa, and Ishaq alayhi salam, ilahan, God, wahidan, one, single. Wa and nahnu, we, lahu, la, for, who, him, muslimun, ones who are submissive, ones who submit. Tilka, that, ummatun, is a community or an ummah. Qad, in fact, khalat, it passed or passed away. Laha, for it, the ha at the end of this word refers to ummah. Okay, so it's in the feminine tense. So laha, for it, ma, wa, kasabat, it earned. And the ta at the end of this word, the ta sukun, shows us that ummah is female. Okay, it's in the feminine tense. Kasabat, it earned, wa lakum, wa and la for, kum, all of you. Ma, wa, kasabatum. Kasaba is in the past, tum, all of you. So, kasabatum, you all earned. Wa la, wa and la na, tus'aluna. You all will be questioned. Sa'ala is the word here, which means to question. Tu in the beginning means you, una ending makes it plural. And if we look at this word, we know it's in the passive tense. It's not that they will be asking the question, but they will be asked. Okay? So tus'aluna, you will be asked. And how do we know that? Because if we drop the una, that's just like adding an S to a word in English to make it plural. Like instead of saying boy, we say boys by adding S at the end. Instead of girl, we say girls, just adding that S. So the same thing in Arabic, when we add una at the end of the word, that's what this does. It just makes the word plural. But if we look at the root word here, that is basically tus'alu. So if you look at the second last letter, it has a fatha on it. The hamza has a fatha on it. Whenever the second last letter has a fatha on it, that means that this word is in the passive tense. So that person is not doing something, but something is being done to that person. So wala and na tus'aluna, you all will be questioned. You all will be asked. Amma, this is a compound word. An and ma. So amma, about what? Kanu. They used to, or they were. And this comes from kun, which means to be, but this is just plural. Kanu, they were. Ya'malun, they do. Amal, ayn, mim, lam, means to do something. Ya in the beginning tells us this word is in the third person tense, and then una ending just makes it plural. So it's they do. Wa and qalu, they said. Kunu, you all be. Okay, and this is a command, and it's plural. We know because it ends in waw sukun. So kunu, be. Hudan, Jewish. Oh, or nasara, Christians. Tahtadu, you all will be guided. Huda is the root word here. Hidayah, which means guidance. Ta in the beginning means you, And then the vowel sukun in the end tells us this word is plural. So tahtadu, you all obtain guidance. Kul, say, bal, rather, millata, milla, or the faith, way of life, Ibrahima, of Ibrahim alayhi salam, Hanifa, is one unswerving, one track, inclining to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa, and ma, na, kana, he was. Now, kana is the same thing as kanu, but it's singular. Okay, so kana, he was, min, from, al-mushrikeen, those who associate partners with Allah. And this word comes from the word shirk, which means to associate partners with Allah. And the meme at the beginning of this word tells us this is a noun. So mushrik is somebody who does shirk. And the ina ending just makes this word plural. So al-mushrikeena, those who do shirk, who associate partners with Allah. Alhamdulillah. That is it for the word meanings for today. Okay, and we'll begin with the tafsir, inshallah. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah, we've been learning about Khalilullah, Ibrahim alayhi salam. Khalilullah means the closest friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. This title was given to Ibrahim alayhi salam by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we learn from the Quran. This is the first time we learned about Ibrahim alayhi salam since we started the Quran. And we are told that he went through many trials. And after all those trials, he was chosen to be the Imam for all of us, the role model for everyone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raises the status of people after they go through tests or trials. Those people then become Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's beloved slaves. We should remember this whenever we are tested. And this will enable us to get through those temporary tests with patience, the way He wants us to. We learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it clear to Ibrahim alayhi salam that even though he had such high ranks, the wrongdoers out of his offspring will not be chosen to be leaders like him. Then we learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives sustenance of this world to the wrongdoers as well. But when it comes to being his beloved, he only chooses the pious ones. At times, he gives people many blessings of this world, but he's not happy with them. So when we're facing hardships, sometimes we start thinking that Allah is upset with us. That comes to mind, right? But we must remember that this is not how we can judge if He is happy with us or not. This is all just a part of the test. The dua Ibrahim and Ismail alayhi salam made while building the Kaaba that we learned last week, رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا, that dua teaches us that whenever we do any good deeds, we should make this dua. Often, people see someone do something good and they say, of course it's going to be accepted. But there is no way of us to be sure of that. The work Ibrahim alayhi salam and Ismail alayhi salam were doing was so great. And they were both prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were building the Kaaba with their own hands. They were constructing the most sacred place in the whole world. Still, they were fearful that their work may not be accepted. Even though they had such pure intentions, they were doing it just to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shaitan makes us think that any work we do will definitely be accepted. But we just don't know. And people like us can't even be sure of our own intentions when we're doing anything. It's no big deal if we get something done. What matters is if the work is accepted by Allah or not. And we see that the disbelievers do so many good deeds too. But we know that they will only get the benefit of this world for doing good deeds as a reward. And there will be no reward for them in the hereafter. So we should never be deceived by any good deed that we do. We don't know when we could have felt proud or started to show off to waste that good deed. And we don't know if it even exists in our book of record anymore or not. Sometimes when we do some good work, it's fine. We do it with the right intentions and everything. But afterwards, something happens to make that good deed go to waste. So we should always make that dua, رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, the pious or the righteous people are the ones who do any good deeds. And وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ, and their hearts tremble with fear. Aisha radiallahu anha asked Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do their hearts tremble with fear when doing good deeds because they're very sinful? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, they are people who do good deeds, but they fear that their work may not be accepted by Allah. So they're afraid. Subhanallah. And that's how Ibrahim alayhi salam was also. Even if a good deed that we consider small, sometimes we think it's not even important because it's so small. If that good deed gets accepted by Allah, it can be the means of success for us in the hereafter. But if we do something very important, something so great, and it's not accepted by Allah, it's worthless. So we should always check to make sure that we are doing the work sincerely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's approval. We should worry about it being accepted by Allah until we get there to the hereafter and see it in our book of deeds. We can't relax. Ibrahim alayhi salam prayed for his offspring also because he worried about them. He made dua for himself and his descendants to be Muslim, to be obedient to Allah. We should worry about correcting our actions first and be obedient to Allah. Then we should also make dua for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make our children righteous. And we should try to guide them properly. Ibrahim alayhi salam was already fully submissive to Allah. But he made dua to be more submissive. This means that he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to, number one, increase him in obedience to Allah, and secondly, to be steadfast in obedience to Allah. Wawassa, and he enjoined biha Ibrahimu, Ibrahim alayhi salam, banihi wa Yaqub, his sons, and Yaqub alayhi salam. Ibrahim alayhi salam and Yaqub alayhi salam advised their sons about their will at the time of their death, when death was approaching. When someone says something at the time of their death, it is considered very important, and we really pay attention to it because we know it has to be something important. Ibrahim alayhi salam and Yaqub alayhi salam said, Ya baniya, O my sons, Inna Allah hastafa lakum ad-deen, Allah has chosen for you this religion, this divine way of life. What religion are they talking about? Everyone claims that their religion is the right one, the chosen one. How can we say that our religion is the one that is the right one? Remember that whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says something in the Quran, he explains that point somewhere else in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Ali Imran, Inna ad-deena 'indallahi al-Islam. According to Allah, the religion is only Islam. And he makes clear to us in Surah Ali Imran, وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِي غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Whoever brings another way of life besides Islam to present before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will never be accepted from him. and he will be of the wrongdoers, the losers in the hereafter. In their own times, the followers of Musa alayhi salam and Isa alayhi salam were right. But after the Quran has been revealed and Islam has come, we cannot say that all religions are acceptable. Some people try to be nice and they think they're just getting along with others, just being tolerant by saying everyone's on the right path. But this isn't what this is about. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us that He has chosen Islam as religion for us out of all the religions. All the other religions have expired. They were relevant then, but only Islam is the chosen religion now. At their time of death, Ibrahim alayhi salam and Yaqub alayhi salam advised their sons to follow the true religion, which has always been Islam. People have named religions, they have chosen different names such as Judaism or Christianity, but all the prophets from Adam alayhi salam to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam were all Muslim. They were all on Tawheed. They believed in one God. They were on Islam. And this base was the same for all of them, Tawheed. Even if the religious laws were different, they were all on Tawheed, the belief in one God. For example, some had to fast from morning to night, and others had to do it for a whole 24 hours. Some prayed one way, and others another way. And some differences existed between the rules of marriage and divorce, but the base was the same for all. At the time of death, Ibrahim and Yaqub alayhi salam told their sons to always stay on Islam. From this, we learn that we should keep reminding our kids that Islam is the chosen way of life by Allah, so don't follow any other deen. We must say this to them. فَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. Therefore, don't die unless you are Muslim. And we know that a person cannot control when they die. We have no control over that. But the words that come after this section, فَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ, the words that follow explain what this means. Only die in the state of being Muslim. And death should only come to you when you are obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you are submissive to Him. We can't claim to be Muslims just because we have Muslim names. The true Muslims are those who really submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we don't know when any of us will die. So the prophets advised their sons to always be obedient. That way, whenever death would come, they would be obedient. And they emphasized for their kids to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala their whole lives, to not do anything that includes any sort of disobedience to Allah. So if they die in that condition, it would not be in the state of disobedience. They made it a point to remind their kids about this even at the end of their lives. They wanted them to be steadfast in obedience to Allah, because we don't know when death will come or under what condition. So when we don't know that, we should always be obedient. And whatever we normally spend most of our time doing is usually the state death comes in. If we are obedient to Allah, we will most likely die in that condition. And we would all love to die while prostrating before Allah in prayer. And we even made du'as for that. But if we don't even pray normally, how can we die while prostrating? When we rarely do something, it's not possible to die in that condition. We can't hope for something that we normally don't do, to die in a condition that, you know, we normally don't do. If we want to die while reciting the Quran, we must spend time reciting it on a regular basis. We should all think about what we would want to do right before our death. This is important. We all desire to die a specific way. So we should spend a lot of our time in whatever condition we want to die in. Do whatever it is that you want to die, that you want to do right before your death. That's what we should focus on. So the chances of us dying in that state increase. Okay? So if you do something, a good deed, on a daily basis, the chances of you dying in that state are much greater than somebody who rarely does it. We should be afraid to go to places where we don't want to die. What if death comes while we are there? For example, somewhere where people are drinking or loud music is playing and people are dancing. Would we ever want to die in a place like that? We wouldn't, so we should avoid going to such places. Remember the hadith. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whatever state people live their lives in will be their condition at death. And whichever state they die in will be the condition they will be resurrected in. Imagine a person in ihram for Hajj or Umrah who dies while reading the Talbiyah. That person will be raised on the day of judgment saying, Labbaik, Allahumma Labbaik. SubhanAllah. How lucky is that person? On the other hand, imagine those who die in bad places that they go to visit or while doing something bad. How will they be resurrected? What will they be doing? Whatever they did at their end. So we should think about what we want our end to be like and in what condition we want to be raised before Allah. At times we start thinking we're doing something just for a little while or we're going somewhere just for a short period of time. But we don't know what can happen during that brief visit. Don't we hear about people dying so suddenly? So often this happens. And the time of death is so unpredictable. Whether we are old or young. So we should always obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we desire to die as His obedient servants and be resurrected in that state too. We should always remember to judge ourselves. And whenever we're about to do anything, we should ask ourselves, what if I die while I'm doing this? We must think this way to avoid sinning. So Ibrahim alayhi salam and Yaqub alayhi salam advised their kids to do this. And the way they said it is so beautiful. SubhanAllah. They didn't say, you must obey Allah your whole lives. They simply said, don't die unless you are Muslim. It means the same thing, right? But they just said it in such a beautiful way. SubhanAllah. أَمْ كُنْتُمْ شُهَدَاءَ Were you present? إِذْ هَذَرَ يَعْقُوبَ الْمَوْتِ When death came to Yaqub alayhi salam. Who is addressed here? The Jews. They used to say that Yaqub alayhi salam practiced their religion. That he taught them to be Jewish and he told them to stay Jewish. So they are told by Allah here, were you present when death came to him? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells them next what he said to his sons at the time of his death. إِذْ قَالَ لِبَنِيهِ When he said to his sons, what did he say to his sons? Imagine a person on a deathbed first. It's time for them to go, and normally everyone around panics, and that person panics too. And what do people say to their kids when they are on their deathbeds, approaching death? They tell them what to do with the wealth they're leaving behind. They tell them to not argue with each other, to take care of each other, things like that. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's messenger, Yaqub alayhi salam, told his sons, he asked them, مَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ بَعَدِي Oh my sons, tell me, who will you worship after my death? What was he worried about? Why did he say mim ba'adi when ba'adi would have meant the same thing? the mim at the beginning of mim badi means long after me. Not right away after his death. Because what do we see normally? When people die, the family members who normally don't even pray turn to Allah in prayer. And they do zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at least for the first few days. And after time passes, they turn back to their old ways. So Yaqub alayhi salam is asking his sons who they will worship long after his death. Not just when they're emotional after his death, but long after his death. He just wants assurance of their iman because he is worried about them. Remember, whatever we worry about, our whole lives are the things we will worry about at the time of our death. People who worry about materialistic things talk about those things in the end too. Only a person who worries about deen would be worried about who his kids will worship after him. This shows us how Yaqub alayhi salam spent his whole life. That's why he asked them at the time of his death who they would worship after him. And we know that he had trained them very well and he prepared them to answer this question. That's why he's asking them. And what about us? What do we do? We don't bother to ask our kids who they will worship after us. We think it's understood. And do we ever say don't die except as a Muslim? We don't even talk to our kids about death as if they're going to live forever. Or we think it's something bad, the topic of death, that it's not good to talk about it. At least we can say, be Muslim and be steadfast on Islam after my death. People ask what age they should advise their kids until. They should remind their kids until which age, till when? We should learn from here till the time of our death. We should keep reminding them. The way we advise them should be different according to their age groups and their phases of life. But we have to speak to them about this. We shouldn't be afraid to tell them this. And we cannot assume that they don't listen. These two prophets didn't think we told them this our whole lives. So what's the need to tell them now? They reminded them of this till their last breath. We must do this also. We should worry even more about their eternal lives than we do for our kids in this worldly life. And keep advising them. Even if we're not sure that they're even listening, we should keep saying it. We don't know when something will sink in. Many people talk about what their parents used to say so long ago, when their parents passed away many years ago. So they talk about things that happened like 20 or 30 years ago. So kids do remember at least some of what their parents say, if not everything. It stays with them somewhere. It does stick. If we never remind our kids, we are not doing our part as their parents. We never know when our words can affect them. So keep advising. This is what these messengers of Allah did. It's extremely important for us to tell our kids to stay on Islam till the time of death and be Muslim. The times we are going through now are called the times of Dajjal. The world is being prepared for Dajjal's arrival. If we are aware of what's going on around the world now, we can understand that Dajjal is going to come soon. We can easily understand how Muslims are going through difficulties now. But people of other faiths or atheists are not going through any sort of difficulties. If we look around, we can understand how difficult it is for practicing Muslims. Not just normal Muslims, but practicing Muslims to live in some countries, to even live there, or travel to certain areas, or to find proper jobs, if they're practicing. Even now, just being Muslim is difficult.
Imagine what will happen when our kids get older. Things are not getting any easier. So it's important to keep reminding them. And what is the trial of the Dajjal? It will be the greatest trial to afflict mankind. He will not rob people of their wealth. He will take away their iman, their faith. And if people don't give up their iman or their belief in Allah, He will take away everything else, including their jobs and houses, whatever. We know about some parts of the world where it's already a problem to be Muslim. And our next generation will have to face these issues also. So we should remind them to guard their faith, never leave it, even if they have to die. Even if they ignore us now, or we think they ignore us, it will sink in eventually. We should talk to them and tell them that we want them to meet us on the Day of Judgment as Muslims only. We should tell them that we don't want to see them be a part of any other group on that day, so they can succeed in the hereafter. It's very important for us to tell them this. And then we should make dua also. Even Ibrahim alayhi salam made duas for his offspring. So we must try to teach our kids and then make dua. Yaqub alayhi salam said this to his sons too, including, who were his sons? Yusuf alayhi salam, Binyamin, and their other brothers. And remember how the other brothers made a huge mistake? Yaqub alayhi salam was saying this to those sons also. The ones who threw Yusuf alayhi salam in the well. He was saying, Ya Beniya, oh my sons, even to them. So nobody can say that their kids will be pious just because they're so righteous themselves. Yaqub alayhi salam was a prophet, but some of his sons committed such a big sin. However, it was his dua that made them return to the right path. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them repent. He allowed them to seek forgiveness. Having their father guide them set them on the right track again. This was how the messengers handled things. The kids made a big mistake, but the father forgave them, and he made dua for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive them. And he gave them a second chance. Nobody can guarantee that our kids will be okay, always. So we should learn how the messengers handle these situations. Even they were worried about their kids' iman, their faith. So of course we should be. Qalu, they said, Na'budu ilahaka wa ilaha aba'ika Ibrahim wa Ismail wa Ishaqa ilahan wahidan. So the kids replied by saying, We will worship your Lord, O Father, the one you have worshipped your whole life, the one who is also the ilah of your forefathers, Ibrahim, Ismail, and Ishaq alayhim as-salam. They were grown men now, they were not kids. They say ilahan wahidan, meaning one God, to make it clear to everyone that they are not talking about two ilahs, two separate ones. So nobody thinks that their father, Yaqub alayhi salam's God, is different from the God of his forefathers, Ibrahim, Ismail, and Ishaq alayhim as-salam. So they make it clear that the Rabb of the whole family is the same, the one and the only Rabb, Allah. Here we see that they called Ibrahim alayhi salam, Ismail alayhi salam, and Ishaq alayhi salam, Yaqub alayhi salam's forefathers or fathers. Even though Yaqub alayhi salam was the son of Ishaq alayhi salam. Right? He was the son of Ishaq alayhi salam, and Ishaq alayhi salam was the son of Ibrahim alayhi salam. So Ismail alayhi salam was Ibrahim alayhi salam's other son. So he was basically their uncle, Yusuf alayhi salam and all his brothers. They were his nephews, not his sons. So Ismail alayhi salam was Yaqub alayhi salam's uncle. Sorry, they were his great nephews, Yusuf alayhi salam and his brothers. So Yaqub alayhi salam's uncle was Ismail alayhi salam, not his father or grandfather. But he is called Abba of Yaqub alayhi salam. They say, your Abba. Okay, Ibrahim alayhi salam was Yaqub alayhi salam's grandpa. And Ishaq alayhi salam was his father. But they're saying Abba to Ismail alayhi salam also. Why? Even though he was Yaqub alayhi salam's uncle. We learn from here that uncles, your father's brothers, must be respected the way your father is respected. We must treat them respectfully and honor them like we do with our father. If your father has brothers, just like your mother's sister should be respected, just like your mom. So they say to Yaqub alayhi salam that we will worship the God that you and your forefathers have been worshiping. وَنَحْنُ لَهُ مُسْلِمُونَ And we are submissive to him. We are Muslim. They declared that they obey the same Allah he does. They are only submissive to him. The word Muslim is beautiful because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose it for us. The Jews got their name Yahud from their elder tribe leader named Yehuda. He was the oldest. So they just named themselves after him. The Christians got their name from a town called Nasran. So they started to call themselves Nasrani. Muslim means the one who surrenders his will before Allah. The one who leaves his happiness, his feelings, desires, everything for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A Muslim surrenders himself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's will. It is an honor to be Muslim. But many Muslims are impressed by other people. And they try to hide their own identity. They don't want Muslim names. Just so they can blend in with other people. But here we learn that these prophets said, وَنَحْنُ لَهُ مُسْلِمُونَ We are Muslim. We're only submissive to Allah. Nowadays, people hide their identity, sometimes in non-Muslim countries, due to fear. And in Muslim countries, if we ask who they are, they don't just say that they're Muslim. They tell us the name of the sect they belong to. Being a Muslim is a much better description than the title of any sect. So why do we ask what else someone is? If someone says they're Muslim, why do people ask, well, what sect do you follow? Isn't it enough that they're Muslim? Who was Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam? And who was Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu? And what about all the other Sahaba, the companions of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam? We try to connect ourselves to them somehow or be recognized by names that didn't even exist in Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam's times. The Hanafi school of thought or the Shafi school of thought, etc. And the title of being Muslim that the messengers used from so long ago, way before all these sects came along, we tend to ignore. Ibrahim alayhi salam made dua for himself and his offspring to be Muslim. Yaqub alayhi salam's sons stated that they were Muslim, clearly. Why don't we like to say just that we're Muslim? Secondly, people are considered Muslim nowadays because they have Muslim names. If someone has a Muslim name, they are basically considered Muslim. If someone really becomes Muslim, which means obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, everyone around them gets stressed out when someone starts practicing. Even families get stressed out when a person starts practicing, asking why they're doing things differently. They tell them to be normal, as they put it. They tell that person that they don't need to show they're Muslim, as long as they are Muslim at heart. That's what matters. Inshallah, we'll learn the answers to all these things ahead when we'll learn about Sibghat Allah, the color of Allah. So most families don't accept this change in a family member, and they question why they're becoming more Muslim or practicing more than them. تِلْكَ أُمَّةٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ لَهَا مَا كَسَبَتْ وَلَكُمْ مَا كَسَبْتُمْ. That was an ummah that passed. A whole community, the sons of Ibrahim alayhi salam, Yaqub alayhi salam, Ishaq alayhi salam. They were all a community who passed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us clearly, لَهَا مَا كَسَبَتْ وَلَكُمْ مَا كَسَبْتُمْ. For them is what they earned, and for you all is what you earned. Meaning, when we speak about the great things our forefathers did, or the things the Sahaba did, feeling so proud, their achievements will not help us in any way if we don't follow their example. If we get emotional after reading about them and the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, about his seerah, it should bring about a positive change in our lives. The purpose of learning about their lives is to learn from their example and implement those things in our lives. Otherwise, their work will not benefit us in any way. Their accomplishments are theirs. We will not be rewarded for what they did. Only they will get that reward. Think of it as if we have all boarded a train. In the first car of the train are Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba, his companions. And the train is very long, and miles back, somewhere in one of the last carts, are us. Okay, we are in there. And we can only be successful if we follow the same track as them. That would be staying on the same train, even way behind them. The destination will still be the same. We can't see them anywhere because they're so far ahead in the train. But we can't succeed if we get off that train or we get off the track just because we don't see them. We must follow that same track they passed long ago in order to succeed. Otherwise, we would lose that path to success. وَلَا تُسْأَلُونَ عَمَّا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. And you will not be questioned about what they did. Some people argue over what happened in the times of the Sahaba, and they look for faults in them. نَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ. But we won't be questioned about them, about what they did. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to worry about our own selves. We should make them our role models. But we can't question what they did. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told his daughter Fatima radiallahu anha and his aunt Safiya radiallahu anha. He said to them, take what you want from me in this life, but I cannot help you in the hereafter in any way. When Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this to his beloved daughter and aunt, how can we think that we can succeed somehow on the Day of Judgment? That we're just going to get through okay? It says, لَهَا مَا كَسَبَتْ وَلَكُمْ مَا كَسَبْتُمْ. For them is what they earned, and for you is what you earned. It doesn't say وَلَكُمْ مَا كَسَبْهُمْ, that for you is what they did. What they did is only for them. That reward is for them. What they did will not help us. وَقَالُوا كُونُوا هُودًا أَوْ نَصَارَى تَهْتَدُوا. And the people of the book used to say, you have to accept their religion to be on the right path. The Jewish said that people must be Jewish to be guided, to be rightly guided. And the Christian said to accept Christianity, tahtadu, so you will be guided. They didn't call people to tawhid at all. They didn't care to call people to believe in only one God. They basically told others that they would be fine if they became like them. that there would be no need to do anything else after accepting their religion. This is what many Muslims do nowadays too. When they call people to their sect instead of Islam, instead of Tawheed, they tell them that they'll be fine as long as they follow their school of thought, their sect. So the people of the book had similar issues. They claimed that these titles of belonging to a certain group are enough for being considered the guided ones. Likewise, being Muslim is not just a title. It's a whole way of life. It's not enough to just be Muslim and not act according to the teachings of Islam. Many Muslims commit sins for which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has warned clearly, Jahannam being the result. So wouldn't that be their place of return? Because we know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would never say something that's not true. There are actually ranks in Jahannam. There are levels for Jews, the Christians, polytheists, disbelievers, and even Muslims. Yes, there's a level in Jahannam for them also. The Muslims who commit the greater sins and disobey Allah. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows where someone deserves to be. He knows who would be forgiven out of people and who won't be. We don't learn from anywhere in the Quran or Hadith that Muslims will go directly to Jannah. But unfortunately, that's what many Muslims believe. So Ahle Kitab, the people of the book, said that people just need to be Jewish or Christian to succeed. Even today, they say that Isa alayhi salam has taken responsibility for all their sins. So they've succeeded. And there's no need to worry. Then why do they remind people who go to church to not commit sins? They should let people do whatever they want then. Because Isa alayhi salam has already taken responsibility for all their sins, right? That's what they say. قُلْ بَلْ مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ حَنِيفًا Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to them, you say that people must be Jewish or Christian to be rightly guided. But who is actually on the right path? مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ حَنِيفًا The way of Ibrahim alayhi salam is the right path. He was Hanifan. He was upright, subhanAllah. The Jewish say Ibrahim alayhi salam was Jewish, and the Christians say he was Christian. Even though we will learn in Surah Ali Imran, inshallah, that Judaism and Christianity came way later. Ibrahim alayhi salam passed away long before people came up with these religions. Ibrahim alayhi salam's son was Ishaq alayhi salam, and Ishaq alayhi salam's son was Yaqub alayhi salam. And from Yaqub alayhi salam's offspring were the Bani Israel, who became the Jews. So the Jews came so much later, after Ibrahim alayhi salam. And they claim Ibrahim alayhi salam was on their way, that he was Jewish. And from the Bani Israel, people became Christians even later than Judaism. So how can they say that Ibrahim alayhi salam was Christian? What we learn from this as Muslims is that it is not right when some Muslims say that you have to belong to their sect to be rightly guided. These sects came long after Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was just Muslim. And from his hadith, we know he said, I am leaving behind two things for you. If you hold fast to them, you will never go astray. The Quran and the Sunnah. So two things that we should always stick to for guidance, that we should always look to for guidance, is the Quran, which is the words of Allah, and the Sunnah, the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because we know he never did anything from his own will. He never did anything wrong because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him a role model for us, an example. Okay, so everything he did is what we're supposed to try to follow. When we want to be guided in life, look towards the Quran and the Sunnah. We can find our answers from the Quran and Sunnah. Those are the two things that would never mislead us. That's it. Everything else came later. There can be a difference of opinion with certain things. Even the Sahaba had a difference of opinion on a few things. But to form sects on the basis of these minor differences, it's not right. And to promote that sect and say that the others are not on the right path, even among Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaat, there are so many sects, and each one claims to be following the way of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says Ibrahim alayhi salam was Hanif. And this is what he wants us to be unswerving. Ibrahim alayhi salam cut off from everyone and just focused on being Allah's servant. He was devoted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was focused. Why don't we remember that when we try to promote our sect instead of being submissive to Allah? To just be Muslim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught us such a beautiful way to be Hanif. To stand before Him in prayer 5 times a day. Disconnect from everything else while we pray. During prayer, we practice turning away from everyone and all the activities of this world 5 times a day at least. To just turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, connect with Him and speak to Him. He wants us to be devoted to Him our whole lives, not just at the time of Salah. We must turn to Him when we make our decisions. And we should free ourselves from following our desires or other people's. People even ask sometimes if they should wear a hijab or not, when Allah has given His order about this already. He has made it clear to us that what He wants us to do. When we ask other people for judgment besides Him, we prove that we are not devoted to Him in worship. Our whole lives should be in obedience to Him. And that would be being in a state of worship our whole lives. It is not being submissive when we make our desires or the demands of other people equally important as Allah's orders. When we start thinking that what I want is just as important as what Allah wants, or what my family member or friend wants is equally as important as Allah's order. Na'udhubillah. When we say things like that, or when we say, I don't know who to listen to, we prove that we are giving our nafs, our soul, or other people the importance we should give Allah. That is not submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we ask these sort of questions. It's simple. We must listen to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only to be submissive. Ibrahim alayhi salam is called Hanif whenever he's mentioned in the Quran. That is such a beautiful characteristic that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must love so much, because He gave His Khalil this quality, His friend. He used the word Hanifan to describe Ibrahim alayhi salam. In order to become Hanif, we must prioritize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's orders above everything else. We should remember that we must be unswerving in obedience to His commands. If we want to learn what it's like to be Hanif, we should learn from Ibrahim alayhi salam's example. He never disobeyed Allah. Out of love for his wife or his sons or his country, his father, out of feeling helpless when the king was questioning him or all the other people turned against him, he still didn't disobey. Never. What do we picture in our mind when we think of Ibrahim alayhi salam? Imagine somebody who is always upright, unswerving, on the right path. That is what Hanif is. He didn't say once that any order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was difficult to follow. It's very easy to learn these ayat quickly and to pass, but just imagine everything he did. He never feared anyone. And he didn't fear losing anything. He risked everything for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was basically homeless when he was driven out of his home, out of his town. We need to remember that we have to be hanif to protect our faith, our iman, in the times ahead. We can't think we can disobey and then seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala later, that he will forgive us but other people won't. Or that we can't hurt someone else by saying no to them. So just surrender to their will, give in, so they won't be upset with us. That Allah will understand. We should never do that. If we obey everyone else, how can we be hanif and obey Allah? We must have that courage to only bow before Allah. If we keep bowing before people, our traditions or the society and family, how can we be upright? We can't change others, but we can change ourselves. If we ignore everything we learn from the Quran and Sunnah, thinking we're helpless before the will of others, we can't be hanif. We can never be upright then. When we learn about legends like Ibrahim alayhi salam, subhanallah, we should be motivated to try to be like them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us follow their example. Ameen, ya Rabbal Alameen. They are our role models, and they were chosen by Allah to be leaders to guide us. وَمَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. And he was not from the polytheists. Even the mushrikeen, the polytheistic people of Mecca, claimed to be from his offspring and follow him. They said that we follow him, his way of life. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarifies that none of the three groups, the three people of other faiths, none of them say about Ibrahim alayhi salam what is correct. Because the Jewish said that he belonged to their religion, and the Christian said that he was Christian, and the mushrikeen said he was mushrik, na'udhu billah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it very clear here that none of them was right. Ibrahim alayhi salam was not Jewish, Christian, or a polytheist. He was hanif. He believed in tawheed, in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one and only God. Alhamdulillah. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Ameen ya rabbal alameen. Jazakumullahu khairan kathira. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.